Welcome to GFT, Galactic Figure Talk, a podcast about Star Wars and Star Wars action figure collecting.
Awesome, yeah!
The reason they're 3¾ inches tall is because the first mock-up figures that I made were Fisher-Price Adventure People.
I will freeze your body in carbonite forever, Han Solo!
Not so fast!
We finally launched 6-inch when I felt the time was right. We needed a new spark.
We started selling all of the action figures through the fan club, and our most successful was the Cantina Band. That was enormously one of the best-selling items we've ever sold through the fan club.
I used my nephew as a hand model on the Waffle Box. He's the one with the little hand that's in there.
It's Kenner's new Star Wars action figures.
Now, welcome your host, Chris B.
Welcome to another episode of GFT, Galactic Figure Talk. My name is Chris B. I'm your host, and on this episode, it's a little bit different from the usual Star Wars action figure talk because I dug in the crates and pulled out a classic interview that I've done with Tom Burgess from IGrewUpStarWars.com. So I've been friends with Tom for, I think it's over 20 years at this point. We've been on several trips together. He's been my room buddy for Star Wars celebrations a number of times, and we always have a great time hanging out. But we hadn't really connected in person since the beginning of COVID. And this past weekend, I finally had the opportunity to meet him again and hang out with him. And of course, it was just like old times. And, you know, of course, it got us talking about all kinds of things Star Wars. And we somehow ended up talking about his trip when he went to Skywalker Ranch and ran into George Lucas a couple of times on different days just by accident. And I actually recorded that interview with him back in October 2018, but it was never published on Galactic Figures. So I dug in the crates, pulled it out, and I thought, for all you new listeners out there who haven't been listening to my previous Toy Run podcast, I'm going to republish this and have you guys listen to it because it really is a fun story and an amazing trip that he did. And just to set the stage a little, Tom is a hardcore original trilogy fan, kind of like me. He got into it though really early, earlier than I did. And my entrance into Star Wars was really the Return of the Jedi. And, you know, I love Return of the Jedi. It's my favorite Star Wars movie. But for him, it's Star Wars. Not A New Hope, but Star Wars, right? Star Wars, Empire and Jedi, that's his jam. And, you know, growing up in the 70s and in the 80s with Star Wars, when there really wasn't a whole lot of Star Wars around, well, it's not really true because there was a lot of Star Wars back then. But it's not like today where it feels like it's overwhelming, right? Because you couldn't just watch the Star Wars movies whenever you wanted. You had to catch them in the theater. I mean, you know, VHS and all that stuff that came later. And so when you wanted to learn more about Star Wars, you kind of had to really dig around and look through magazines and find articles about Star Wars. And a lot of times we would also get glimpses of how they worked on Star Wars, the behind the scenes stuff. And all of those ILMers, you know, like Joe Johnston or Lorne Peterson, those were heroes to us growing up. And that was synonymous for us, you know, like Anthony Daniels and Kenny Baker and Peter Mayhew and Dave Prowse and, of course, Mark Hamill, Carey and Harrison Ford, you know. But the people who actually worked on Star Wars were somehow equally important like the actors back then. And so when Tom talks about Lorne Peterson or meeting Lorne Peterson in the interview that I'm going to play you guys, I just want to let you know that this is truly, truly special. And yeah. And also, I think it's really interesting that Tom overheard George Lucas talk about the sequel trilogy. And also, when he talks about Skywalker Ranch, you need to understand that Skywalker Ranch, at the time, growing up with Star Wars back then, was a magical place. It was the place where Star Wars was made, and nobody could get into it. It was George Lucas's home. That's where all the magic happened. To go to Skywalker Ranch, you know, it's not open to the public. You have to know somebody in order to get in and visit. And it's still on my bucket list. I've never been, and hopefully one day I will be able to go and tour this absolutely magical place that I've been hearing about for 40 years at this point. So anyways, here's the interview I did with Tom back in October of 2018. All right, our guest this week is Tom Burgess from IGrewUpStarWars.com. If you've been listening to Toy Run for a while, you know that we had Tom on the show several times before. And he's back today to talk about his Star Wars trip to California, where he ran into George Lucas just randomly on different occasions. So he's here to talk about all of that. So, Tom, thanks so much for coming back.
Oh, no worries. It was freaky. This trip was amazing, and hopefully you guys will hear all about it if I remember every detail.
It sounds amazing, because I remember talking to you. I think I actually was going to come down to your place to go on a toy run with you, right? Hit the toy stable and all that.
Yeah.
And you said, well, you can't, because you're going to go down to San Francisco with a bunch of guys, and
right.
Maybe, if you're lucky, end up at Skywalker Ranch, right?
That was a big maybe, and yeah. And that maybe turned into, oh yeah, it's definitely going to happen. So you'll hear all about that. So,
right.
Yeah. So the guys that I went with, a lot of German guys, and there's one fella from Belgium, and these guys are quite the world travelers as far as Star Wars trips go. They've been to FINSA. They've been to, you know, a bunch of the celebrations here in the United States and of course, in Europe as well. So they're really all keen on going down to California whenever they can. So
well, you just said FINSA, right? So that's the location where they shot The Empire Strikes Back Hoth scenes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A couple of years ago, they went to FINSA. I was invited to go to that one, but I bowed out. And now, of course, I'm sad that I did, because they had an awesome time there too. So, but not as awesome a time as this trip to San Francisco. So so I met these guys, all from Germany and Belgium. I think that was like a Sunday evening, and I touched down in San Francisco from Seattle, pretty much right as these guys were landing from their trip from Europe. So it worked out pretty good. There wasn't any dead time or anything.
That's good.
Yeah, and so we all met. We said our hellos. We grabbed the van, and we were on our way. So we drove up a little bit north of San Francisco to Petaluma. And Petaluma, of course, is a place that some of you might know, that Steve Sansweet lives in that area there.
Of course. Did you go see Steve?
We did not. No, I was going to ask him how things are going and maybe if we could stop by and see how he was doing, but I didn't want to bother him. It would have been a cold call at that point. So
sure. Yeah.
There was definitely a lot more to do. So we landed, we drove up to Petaluma, and fortunately for me, Chris, I got to say that the closest restaurant within that area of the hotel was of course Applebee's, my most favorite restaurant of all. And you know, the German guys are like, oh, let's get some American hamburgers. And I said, no, let's go to Burger King if you're going to get hamburgers, because Applebee's is the worst restaurant on the planet.
Yeah, we used to have our Star Wars get-togethers there. I think they're actually still happening.
They're still going. Thank God. God bless them all.
Yeah.
And they're at Applebee's. They actually started at a place pretty popular in the Northwest called Red Robin. And I think they are all over the place. But actually, Red Robin started their franchises in Seattle, Washington. But anyway, yeah, we moved from there to Applebee's, and I tried everything on Applebee's menu, and I hated every damn thing. So, actually, it's a true story. That's actually one of the reasons why I stopped going to the meeting.
Really? The food.
Well, it was the drive, but it was the food, too. If I'm going to drive an hour one way and an hour back, that food better be worth it to me. So,
so they wanted to go to Applebee's, and you obliged?
I did, yeah. I had no choice, but, you know, I found something that was medially, marginally, somewhatly decent, and, you know. Strangely enough, we actually went there two times in a row. We actually went there two times in a row. Two times in a row.
All you can eat is back, baby. Applebee's. Eating good in the neighborhood.
So what we did is we grabbed some dinner. Our first trip of the day was going to be the next morning breakfast. And Heiko, our team leader, he put all of these great things that we're going to talk about together. And we were going to grab the van, drive down to a little place called San Anselmo. And incidentally, San Anselmo, not incidentally, we knew exactly, San Anselmo is the area where George Lucas lives. George lives in San Anselmo, and we knew that George, from rumors that George frequented a specific breakfast place. I'm not going to say the name of the breakfast place, but we went to San Anselmo. We got out of the van. We parked the van about a block away from this little restaurant, and as we're walking through San Anselmo, we turn to go into the restaurant, and Manny says, "He's there." So we're saying, "What do you mean he's there? What are you talking about?" So we open the door, and in the corner, all the way in the back, is George Lucas sitting there.
That's crazy.
And the funny thing is, I was the only one not wearing a Star Wars shirt that day. Because I'm not big on wearing Star Wars shirts, but all of these other goofballs, these European goofballs, sorry guys, these European guys all are wearing, you know, Star Wars and all kinds of different shirts that are definitely, you know, just screaming, "I'm a big Star Wars nerd and I'm looking for George Lucas. Is he here?" So we get seated, and you know, George is like eagle-eyed at this point, and he sees us, and I have never seen a elderly producer, creator of Star Wars, scamper out of a restaurant as quick as I saw him move. And incidentally, interestingly enough, he was in front of, his car was parked in front of the restaurant. And he paid his bill as quick as he could. He walked by us without making any eye contact, and he headed out of there as quick as his little feet could carry him. He jumped in his car. He jumped in his burgundy Lexus. He pulled out of his stall, and that was the last that we saw of him of the day. But that glimpse of George Lucas for 20 seconds that we saw him, was the freakiest, most amazing thing I had probably ever done. No, until the next few days, and we'll get to that.
But. So you caught him at his favorite restaurant. So was it a coffee shop, or was it a restaurant, or?
It's a little coffee shop. So, you know, they do like little breakfast things and stuff. Actually, the food was amazing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you wanted to Google, you know, George's favorite breakfast place or something like that, I'm sure it would come up, but I'm not going to mention it. Yeah. But it is the food was great, and I definitely can see why George would like it, because it was fun. And the great thing is, I'm sure the folks in San Anselmo kind of give him the opportunity to kind of be himself when he's out. I don't think the place was pretty full, but I don't think anybody really took notice of him, except for us, of course.
So, and you said it took about 20 seconds for him to get up and leave?
Well, so thankfully for George, and I'm thinking he's just counting his stars, thankfully for George, he was finished, and he was paying his bill, and that's when we came in. Okay. And he ducked out of there as quick as his feet could take him. So I think he made eye contact with a few of us, but you know, what do you do when you see George Lucas? And we're not one of those guys thankfully we're not those guys to jump in his way and ask for a picture. I mean, I'm kicking myself that we didn't, but I mean, we wanted to give the poor guy his piece too.
Sure.
You know, what do you do? George, can I get your autograph? Most people would actually do that. Or can we get a picture? But we didn't. And, you know, we were kicking ourselves.
Yeah.
We were kicking ourselves. But it was thrilling and it was crazy because we had just seen George Lucas out in the wild by himself.
Out in the wild.
Yeah. We saw George Lucas out in the wild.
What are the chances of meeting George Lucas? I mean, we know that, you know, he's in Chicago a whole lot, you know. That guy, I mean, he could be anywhere. You know, every now and then you hear that he's somewhere in Monaco, you know, for some of the Formula One races.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, but the thing is, he lives there. He lives in San Anselmo. And we knew, or Heiko and the guys knew that he would, you know, he liked having breakfast there every once in a while. But as you come into the restaurant and you see George Lucas sitting in the corner, it's like, holy right?
Oh,
so
yeah, totally.
We were on, everybody was on cloud nine talking about it and saying we couldn't believe it. I mean, it happened so fast that none of us had a camera. We would have taken a shot of maybe him leaving or walking by or something, but everybody was totally stunned when it happened.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Lucas, so, can you sign my Star Wars action figure, please?
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. He would have just said, all right, go take that action figure and stuff it in your fella. I'm out of here. Thanks for ruining my breakfast place. So after that, he was long gone. He had jumped in his Lexus and he tore out of there. So we had had a after that we had a great breakfast, and after that we headed to, there's a little park not far, actually a block away from the restaurant, that is Imagination Park in San Anselmo, and that's where the statues of the Indiana Jones and Yoda are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So apparently there's the Yoda statue was only poured or created four times, and there's very limited areas where this Yoda is. So the Indiana Jones statue is there.
So the Yoda statue, cool. That's the same one that's in front of the Presidio. And
exactly. So, yeah, the very same one. And this one is there at Imagination Park in San Anselmo. So we took some pictures and did that. So that was kind of the first part of the first day of our trip. We had already seen George Lucas. We had already done this, you know, taking pictures with the Yoda statue. We could have ended it right there, and it would have been a really memorable trip.
Sure.
So that evening, when we came back, we actually were fortunate enough to have Don Bees join us.
Okay.
Because Heiko knows Don Bees rather well. Don Bees, as you might know, was the droid wrangler. And the controller of R2-D2 for the prequels. And he was also Boba Fett in the special edition shots for A New Hope. And, you know, he was also kind of the heading up the archive as well. So Don Bees, anybody who knows behind the scenes would know who Don Bees is. So, sure. Yeah, he's actually part of a company named Trauma Effects, and what they do is they create these articulated mannequins of trauma victims, so doctors and medics, like army medics and that kind of thing, can practice on these mannequins for real life situations. So basically it's a lot of people with like blown off legs, and they're simulated with blood and you know, sound effects and screaming and all that stuff and movement. So it's amazing that they, we couldn't take pictures, unfortunately, but I can, you know, we had to sign a NDA and that kind of thing. But the tour of this place called Trauma Effects is pretty amazing. And it's amazing that Don Bees is, you know, walking you through all of this stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
So they had people, human figures, they had male and female figures, and they also interestingly had dog figures, because, you know, a lot of military situations, the military uses a lot of dogs, and unfortunately these dogs also, you know, step on a landmine or something happens to them or get shot. So they have these simulated mannequins of dogs, so these medics can train on these dogs to try to save real dogs in the future.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And these dogs look and feel the exact same as a real dog. So it's weird because, you know, you've got these mannequins with, like, blown-off limbs, and they look incredibly real and pretty graphic, but... It's amazing because, you know, that's you can't really get the same feel of how dire a situation is to try to save someone when, you know, everybody has all of their limbs and you've got actual people. When you've got these mannequins, you know, which have actual blown off limbs and there's blood flowing from the wound and all of this crazy stuff, it's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So Trauma Effects is kind of a interesting thing, and Don Bees kind of walked us through his company that he's got going there, and it's that's located in Petaluma as well. So all this happened within the first day, and it was pretty cool. So after we got that great tour of his place, we went to dinner with him.
Did he share any Star Wars stories at all?
A little bit. We were talking more about, you know, his current deal, but he did after dinner he did grace us with walking around downtown Petaluma and showing us some of the filming locations of American Graffiti.
Oh, nice.
Because some of that was filmed there as well, so that was really cool. And of course it was, you know, nighttime, and American Graffiti takes place a lot at night, so we really got the feel that it was, you know, kind of walking through the movie. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that was the first day, Chris.
Wow.
So we had seen George Lucas. We visited the park with Yoda and Indy. We got a one-on-one tour of Don Bees' awesome Trauma Effects company, and then we had dinner and walked to some of the American Graffiti locations with a, you know, an ILMer.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty
yeah.
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was that day.
So day two comes around. What was planned for day two?
Day two was sightseeing, and this was our time to go to the ranch.
On the second day already.
On the second day. So we were going to Heiko once again. God bless that guy. He had some contacts at the ranch. But here's the thing. If you go to the ranch, you can only bring so many people. So five people in total, which left one person out, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, they're pretty firm with that rule. I mean, it's either five people per host. So, you know, me being there, it made six people.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, exactly. No problem. Heiko actually had, you know, someone from the ranch to the five people were already accounted for. Apparently, after talking to Lauren Peterson, Heiko spoke to Lauren Peterson about the ranch, and Lauren was nice enough to actually host one of us, which was me, to come to the ranch as well. So all of us were definitely now more than good to go for the ranch.
So Lauren Peterson, for people listening, we're talking about the legendary model maker who's worked on Not just the original trilogy, but also on the prequels.
Prequels, Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, look at his IMDb page. He's done a ton of stuff. I mean, Lauren is a legend. Mm-hmm. Lauren was actually, you know, the guy, the rebel guy sitting in the tower thing in A&H?
On Yavin, yeah, sure.
Yeah, on Yavin? Yeah, that's Lauren Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome.
So, it's crazy. We pull up at the ranch, and driving to the ranch is just amazing. It's such beautiful country. I mean, if you've ever been, if you've been driven through the landscape north of San Francisco, I mean, they're just rolling hills with these little patches of these trees, and it's kind of a magical land. It's beautiful. It's almost brushland, but I mean, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. So we drive to the ranch. It's a really great drive, and we're there. And it's interesting because the ranch is incredibly nondescript. When you drive up to the gates of the ranch, there's really nothing that indicates, hey, this is the ranch, Skywalker Ranch. Everybody, come on in. It's two gates, one going in, one going out, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't say Skywalker Ranch or anything on the outside.
Doesn't say Skywalker Ranch anywhere.
Wow.
Nothing. Nothing.
No signage, no, okay.
Absolutely not. No. They want to keep it as secret and kind of, you know, to keep people away. I mean, you could drive past this place and totally not know it was there. Mm-hmm. So we pull up to the gate, and of course no one is there, and reception is bad, so in that area. And we're trying to reach Lauren Peterson because we were hoping that we would find him there. And he's not there, so I do get reception, and Heiko gives me Lauren's number, and I send him a text saying that we're in front of the ranch. About 10 minutes later, unrelated, he didn't get the text. He comes pulling in with his little sports car, his little red sports car.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, let's get going, and we'll go up to the ranch, and we'll see what's going on up there. The person he had to host had to be with him. So I jumped in Lauren Peterson's little red sports car, and we headed up to the ranch, which was great because the funny thing is that, you have to go through security, and there's like a little security, little building there, and you have to take a number, and, you know, you have to sign your name and non-disclosure and all this good stuff.
Wow.
So
the full experience, yeah. Man.
Very, very official. So, yeah, it's just, once again, another surreal experience where you're just sitting there in Lauren Peterson's car, sitting in front of, you know, the security hut at Skywalker Ranch.
Wow.
So we get everything done. We go up to the ranch, and our tour begins. Heiko meets the other host for the tour. For the life of me, I don't know.
Okay.
It was a woman, and I'm sure Heiko's gonna go, how could you not remember what her name was? So I'm sorry, but what were you gonna say? Who did you think it might be? She was a wonderful lady. But for the life of me, I was so enamored with what Lauren was talking about. I didn't even catch her name.
Yeah. All right.
I'm embarrassed. So anyway, we take pictures up at the house, and it's amazing. I mean, the Skywalker Ranch, the main house, is incredible. And we had driven by Skywalker Sound, which is also on the property. And Skywalker Sound is kind of nestled in between these grapevines, of course, you know, wine grapes, because they make their own wine there, Skywalker mm-hmm. Vineyards there, or Skywalker Winery, excuse me. And yeah, it's beautiful. Skywalker Sound actually looks like a kind of a Spanish villa. I mean, it's incredible, and we get to visit that later on. But so we go into the main house, and we're taking the tour, and of course George Lucas in the main house has some amazing artwork, and restorations of antiques and that kind of thing. But he's got an incredible collection of Norman Rockwell paintings.
And that's on display at the ranch?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And they are gigantic and just amazing. If you know Norman Rockwell's work, he is incredibly detailed. And he's quite an artist of Americana. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, folks in everyday situations, which is really, I mean, every picture tells a story. And he's got other amazing pieces of artwork there. So we're taken around the ranch, you know, the main house. And it's almost lunchtime. And the funny thing is, you know, there's an area, there's kind of a cafeteria down the road from where we are that most of the people that do come visit the ranch would normally eat at.
But so that's a separate building?
It's a separate building down the way. Okay. Yeah. So we're given the choice. Well, you know, there's some folks that are actually recording some music at Skywalker Sound today. And it's going to be filled up. There's going to be a lot of people there. Why don't you guys just have lunch here at the main building? And we figured, you know, that's okay. I mean, we're here now. We might as well just eat. So it's a little dining room that's kind of toward the back.
And that's inside the main building?
Inside the main house, okay. Yeah. And, you know, Lauren's been talking the whole time. I mean, we're looking at props in little areas. You know, they've got a big, just amazing bookcase. This area where they have props of the movies. And we're seeing the Crystal Skull, and we're seeing the... Cross of Coronado, and a lot of other little props like the A-Wing and a few other odds and ends.
Nice.
That were there. And we also actually saw the staircase in the library. You know, the library at Skywalker Ranch is known for its amazing woodwork and the circular staircase,
yeah.
Yeah, we've seen the one at Vic and Lisa's, Chris.
Yeah.
The real one is amazingly gigantic. I mean, this room is huge and just filled with books. You'd think that there would be specific books, but they're picture books. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of picture books and reference books. So if someone has an idea for a movie or an element of a movie or a creature or something like that, they can reference these books. And they're listed within, you know, a region of the world and that kind of thing. So there's just different groupings of books that folks that work at the ranch or working on a specific movie can go and reference.
That's awesome.
They actually have their own librarian there that kind of keeps tabs on where things are and catalogs everything, which she was a nice lady. So anyway, we've done the tour.
Was the name Jocasta new?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think so. And no one asked her, you know, if that was her name, but she was rather friendly. So,
all right.
Going back to lunchtime here, we run the tour and we are ready to grab something to eat. And the fact that the regular cafeteria area is going to be crowded because of folks that are going to be eating. Musicians are going to be down there having lunch.
Sure.
So we were suggested to just stay at the main house because they have a little dining room that has kind of a buffet, and the buffet was serving some Chinese style food that day. We said, oh, that sounds good. So we're all standing in line. Half of us have already paid and stuff and are looking for a seat. There's not too much seating there. I would say maybe, 10 tables.
Okay, so and, it is small. Yeah.
It's small. It's relatively small. And Lauren is standing kind of near me. And behind me, Lauren looks up and he goes, hey, George, how you doing? I turn around, and everybody in the room is just, there's George Lucas again. And the funny thing is that George is with some folks, some guests of his. He has a man and a woman that he's taking on a private tour. I can only imagine what they were doing. But they were on a private tour, and we once again met George Lucas in this very relatively small dining room.
Yeah.
And he turns to his guests and he goes, I'm wondering if you guys would maybe want to eat outside because it's nice out there. And the woman goes, I think it would be nice to just eat inside. And he goes, okay. So I'm the last one in line to get.
So
my
you're
food.
Close enough to George to actually hear the conversations he's having.
Chris, I'm standing in line at the buffet table, and George Lucas is standing right next to me. I don't look up. I don't know what to do. And I already have my plate. I already have my tray. Do I let them go ahead of me? I'll just make this fast and I'll go in front of them.
Just hug them.
So
put your feet down. Hug them.
Yeah. So I am listening to, you know, little things that he's saying as he's going through the line, and I'm trying to go through the line as quickly as possible. You know, he paid no mind to us at all, but he knew we were there.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering now if he's remembering us from
the day before.
From the day before. He's probably going, oh, those little bastards. They're back and they're in my house. So I'm scooping up stuff. And as I'm sitting there, he's talking to these folks and he's going, I hate kale. Because there's some kale on some of the stuff, and he's having a conversation about kale. So the whole inside joke of the trip after that was, I really hate kale. Yeah. So you know, we all sit down, and Lauren says, let's sit here. So it's a long table, kind of at the very end of the room. Over kind of looking in the direction of the buffet. So as we're all sitting, we can see them finishing up there. And it was the most surreal thing. I mean, the fact that I stood not 1 foot away from George is the craziest thing I can think of. And hearing his private conversation was the weirdest thing you can think of as well. So...
I mean, yeah. The whole thing is just bizarre. Like, you're going through security with Lorne Peterson and driving up to the ranch and...
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
It's insane. It's the dumbest story, and no one would believe it. But the thing is, once again, here we are in a situation where we're in a room with George Lucas, and we're not asking for autographs again, and we're not taking pictures because we respect the fact that we're in a place where... We are very lucky to be, because a lot of people never get here. And George Lucas, the creator of all of this, is standing 1 foot away from you. I mean, what do? You respect the guy.
Well, you don't want to get kicked out either.
No, right? that would be the quickest way to get your ass kicked out of Skywalker Ranch is to start harassing George,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
But it's funny. I can just imagine the fact he's coming in the door with his guests and he's seeing these goofballs again. Oh no, it's these guys from the breakfast place. Oh man. Hey, I got a question. I got a suggestion. Maybe we should eat outside. No, that's okay, George. Maybe we can eat in here. It seems a lot more, a little quieter. Okay. Well, okay. Get your goddamn plates and we'll get some food and we'll sit down. So. Here we are. We're all eating, and Lauren is giving us a story where he's talking about some filming stuff. So there's these two conversations going on. There's the one that Lauren is talking about, and then there's the one that George is talking to, his private conversation with his guests. And everybody is trying to listen to Lauren, and everybody is trying to listen to George. So you're getting half of this stuff. And what we heard was, I can tell you this with 100% accuracy, because it came out of George Lucas's mouth. This is an exclusive to you guys. George was not a fan of what they did with the sequel.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So that's what he talked about when he had lunch there, the sequels.
Correct. Yeah, I can only imagine these folks were maybe producers, or I don't know, but they were definitely talking Star Wars, and George, it turns out he wasn't too keen on what they did with the sequel up to this point.
So I need to know more.
That's all I can tell you, Chris.
Okay, okay.
Because that's all we heard. And yeah.
So he said, I'm not a fan of the sequels.
He said what he didn't like what they did with the characters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that is not a surprise to me. That is
that
not
came
a
straight
to
from
me.
George Lucas's mouth.
Well, you heard it here first, people. here's a Toy Run exclusive straight from Tom Burgess.
Right. I was there. I was in the same room. So there you go.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So George was there. We were quiet. We were listening. It was time to go. We had a delicious Chinese buffet kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, where you bust your tables, you know, you clean up your own plates.
Sure.
Where you bust your tables is right behind George. It's right behind George. And the thing is, we're all nervous, and there's seven of us, you know, including Lauren. And I can only imagine, you know, the clanking. George is just trying to have a private conversation with these folks, because you have to remember, or I need to add, that it was George's party and it was us. And that's it. So, you know, the thing is, we have to bus our table right directly behind him. Which is funny.
Yeah.
So I have a depiction of probably what it sounded like. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Okay. So this is from George's perspective here.
So what I was saying is I don't really like the prequels very much. The sequels could have been done better, but I just could you guys just get out of here, please? Please just get out of here.
That's amazing, man.
True story. I wouldn't make it up. I don't think I would have the imagination to make something up like that, but it was amazing.
So
after that, yep, after that we left the main house, and actually we were given kind of free rein of the ranch with Lauren, because they were the folks, the other host. And I'm so sorry, I forgot her name. The other host was going to go prepare the store for us, so we could buy, you know, the Skywalker Ranch merchandise.
So that's not a store that's open all the time. It's something that they have to specifically open when people sign in. Probably
exactly.
At the front gate.
Okay. It's open once the tour is done. The store opens up, and you know, you basically have free run of a store that has T-shirts, mugs, cups, stickers, just hoodies, sweaters, underpants with Ooh. Skywalker Ranch logo on it. Maybe wow. not underpants. I didn't find any though that I was looking.
Hmm.
But before that, we were entrusted with Lauren, and Lauren took us through the Skywalker Sound facility that's not far from the main house. It's just down the hill.
Okay.
Through the vineyard into this amazing looking Tuscan building that was just so beautiful. And even on the inside, I mean, every wall was adorned with these very rare old movie posters, because George loves collecting these old vintage movie posters. So everyone is in mint condition and just beautifully framed, and these old vintage posters are just gigantic.
Of course, yeah. Of course, yeah. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, they were as I mentioned, they were recording some music there. So we kind of walked through the halls and looked at some of the stuff. Just an amazing facility. I mean, built. Every one of these buildings that's on the ranch is in itself a $5-6 million building. I mean,
yeah.
It's just insane. It's insane. And you always see pictures of the main house, but some of these houses by themselves are these kind of craftsman-y-looking bungalow-type houses that just look beautiful on their own.
Yeah.
And they're all scattered around, you know, behind the main house, in front of the main house. But the amazing thing is when George was working, wanted to work at the Skywalker Ranch, the third floor of Skywalker Ranch is his. No one can go up there but George.
Really?
And what he wanted to do was he wanted to hide the buildings behind trees, you know, behind natural obstructions, so you couldn't see them from the house. So you actually have to walk around corners and that kind of thing to get to these different houses. And even when you're standing in the back of the ranch or the back of the main house, you can't see these buildings unless you take a path to them. So what George wanted to do is he wanted to create kind of seclusion for himself so he could, you know, his creative juices could flow.
Sure.
At an area where, you know, he didn't have to deal with people and talk to anybody or see any buildings. It was just kind of a natural habitat, which is just awesome.
Well, when you told me that you met George Lucas or that you ran into him a few times, I actually started looking into Skywalker Ranch and George and found out that he did keep Skywalker Ranch for himself after he sold everything to Disney.
Yes.
So that's still his thing.
He also has the archive, too. Mm-hmm. All of the archive up to that point is still his. So, which is another story that I'm going to get to in a few moments.
Okay. So So you walk around Skywalker Ranch and you walk past Skywalker Sound where they're recording something, and then what are you going to do next?
Well, we are kind of heading out. The tour is almost over, but there's one place that we need to hit. One of the barns toward the front of the ranch has the archive in it. And I'm talking about the archive that has all the costumes and all the models and all of the props to Star Wars, to the Star Wars trilogy, to Indiana Jones, Howard the Duck, all this stuff that you've seen on, you know, videos. You ever see the Don Bees hosted thing on, I think you can find it on YouTube. It was on the big Laserdisc release. But
that's on property. I always kind of thought it was kind of in the Presidio area, maybe a different warehouse somewhere. But that's actually on that property.
It is on the property. Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought so too. But apparently, it's on the property. So, Lauren says as we're driving, he goes, "Maybe we can get you into the archive," and that's what we were kind of hoping because Heiko was kind of alluding. We were kind of all alluding to the fact that we really would love to check out the archive.
Yeah.
And he goes, "I'll see what I can do." So we walk into the building and we go up to, it's a two-level building with two huge warehouses on either side. So there's kind of a administration kind of stairwell in the middle. And on one side is costumes, on the other side is the props and the other stuff. And we are all chomping at the bit, and we're going, "Oh, my God, this is going to happen. This is going to happen." So Lauren, we all, with us in tow, we walk up, and there's a little archivist office. And it's open, and Lauren goes in, and he goes, "Listen, guys, just wait here, and we'll see if we can get you in to the archive." And we are just chomping at the bit. And Lauren goes in, closes the door, and talks to the guy that's, or the person that's there. I didn't get a good look if it was a woman or a man or whoever. So, but I did kind of peek through the door, and there's a stormtrooper helmet sitting on one of the one of the locker kind of cabinets up there. And I go, "Okay, this is going to be awesome."
Yeah.
So I think what we're waiting for is for Lauren to schmooze whoever was there to see if we could take a peek into the archive.
Yeah,
and we're standing between the two warehouses that are locked up. They're closed. I mean, these huge doors open either way. Between us is some crates and stuff, and we're looking at the crates. And the crates, we're reading what these crates say, and the crate is R2-D2, please save. The crate for R2-D2 is sitting there. And then we see C-3PO, please save, you know, these big empty crates. Yeah. And we're just like freaking out because we're just like, oh, I can't believe we're going to be hitting the archives. And then we look at the third crate and it's Ark of the Covenant, please save.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we sit there for about 15 minutes and we're taking, you know, taking sly little pictures of the crates here and there.
Yeah.
Lauren's still talking and we're going, oh man, I hope this happens. If this happens, this is going to be the most amazing thing. What was the most amazing thing? Having, quote unquote, having lunch with George Lucas or getting a chance to visit the, you know, the archives. So unfortunately, Lauren comes out 15 minutes later and he says, yeah, the archivist told me it's not going to happen. We can't have you guys look at any of this stuff because they're getting ready to pick out what they're going to take to the Lucasfilm Museum.
Okay, so they're getting ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're kind of archiving and cataloging and making decisions on what they want to take to the museum.
Well, that's another exclusive now, right? So now we know for sure that original movie props from Star Wars are going to be at the museum.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. They are going to be at the museum.
Because
yeah,
we've been hearing about art and Rockwell a whole lot, but we have not heard anything about Star Wars, actual Star Wars movie props being on display there. So
yeah, yeah. There's a little smattering at the main house, you know, like I said, that they had the Grail from the Indiana Jones movie, the Crosser Coronado, I believe. They had some... They had some other indie. They had a fedora there. They had a whip. At the main house, they had one of the crystal skull props there, which was awesome. Bad movie, but it was still an awesome prop. And then they had a few other maquettes. They had a Jabba the Hutt maquette. They had an A-wing model. They had a few other things. I think they had a few maquettes from Willow and that kind of thing as well. But standing in the warehouse, it's kind of a, you know, once again, it's nondescript. You really don't know what would be in there. It just looks like a huge barn. And there's some little other smaller buildings for like maintenance and that kind of thing. So we're standing in this barn type thing. And on one side is housed all of the costumes. On the other side is the props. Chris, we were so close to getting into those and having a look at that stuff. If we could have just cracked the door open and just had the chance to look in for a minute, that would have been fine. That would have been enough, but we missed out on that opportunity, and that was actually the only opportunity that kind of slipped by us. But, you know, with that, Lauren sure tried, and it just didn't work out. Wow. So.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear how tight security is, even for somebody, you know, like Lauren Peterson.
Well, you know, the folks that work there, you know, the folks running security and stuff, I'm sure Lauren isn't there all the time, and they probably don't even know who Lauren Peterson is. So, you know, he's treated as an employee.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was awesome. But the great thing is that once the tour was done, Lauren goes, so, you know, we can go and check out the beach or something if you guys want to have dinner tonight. Or, you know, we can go to my house and we can just hang out and talk and then grab some dinner.
Okay.
We went, okay. Well, how about this, Lauren? Why don't we all come to your house and hang out with you and then grab some dinner? And he said, cool, let's do it. So Lauren lives at the very top. He also lives in San Anselmo. Okay. So we drive back from the Skywalker Ranch. We drive back to his place, and it's kind of overlooking the town. It's kind of on a very tall hill, and driving up there, the guys that were behind me in the van had a hell of a time getting up this hill because there were some pretty tight corners, and the van was pretty long. So good driving by Marcus, but we all got to the top of the hill, and we were hanging out at Lauren Peterson's house for a couple hours, talking about Star Wars, talking about other stuff, talking about some politics. Yeah, it was really crazy. So
very cool.
I had Lauren made me some tea, and I had tea and cookies at Lauren Peterson's house.
Oh, nice. Any good yeah. Star Wars stories that came out of that?
Not really. We're just talking about, you know, some commercials that we were talking about, and then we talked about a lot of stuff. Not really Star Wars-y stuff. He does have a classic Porsche that we looked at in the garage. So we were sitting there, and he goes, someone joked about his Oscar because he had won an Oscar, I think, in 1984 for The Temple of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, yeah, do you guys want to see it? So we go in, and we're all taking pictures of his Oscar. And he said, yeah, you guys can hold it and play around with it and take a look at it if you want.
Wow.
So we're all kind of, you know, holding up his Oscar and taking pictures and funny stuff.
Just don't drop it.
Yeah. The interesting thing is there's a big, huge Egyptian sarcophagus, big coffin.
In his house?
At the bottom of a staircase, kind of a half a staircase, okay. Going into what I can only imagine is, you know, his bedroom or whatever. And apparently that was the actual prop that was in the Well of Souls in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, wow. So he got to keep that one.
He got to keep that prop piece. Yeah, interestingly enough, he said that, you know, they had gone to the Egyptian Museum in London and they were able to actually cast an actual sarcophagus to make it look more authentic, to make it look Egyptian, because... if you look at the mummy and that kind of thing, it's interesting because I've noticed this myself. When you look at kind of ancient Egyptian type movies, the authenticness of the props that they create are never spot on. Hmm. They always look, if you're into Egyptology, you have an eye for what looks right and what doesn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the folks that worked on Raiders definitely had that eye, because what they have the opportunity to do was actually mold an actual sarcophagus, and that is what they used for the Well of Souls to make it look authentic.
Hmm. Okay.
So here's this thing, this sarcophagus prop piece, and we are sitting there and we're taking pictures with it.
Pretty amazing.
And, yeah, well, here's something that's also crazy and amazing is that basically, Lauren Peterson lives right above where George Lucas lives.
Really?
Yeah, so he can actually see, well, it's now trees. You can't see the house or anything anymore. But Lauren shared a story with us that when George was building his house on that hill that's a little lower down from where Lauren is, Lauren was looking at the hill. And he talked to George one day. I think they were at a picnic. He goes, you know, George, I can see from where I live, from where I can, you know, from my hill, I can see part of your swimming pool. And he goes, oh, okay, thanks. Interesting. Thanks, Lauren. 3 weeks later, there are trees planted there. So Lauren cannot see anything of the house or the swimming pool anymore. So
he should have not told him.
Exactly. Yeah. So we had a good laugh about that. Yeah. So after that, we went to Mexican with Lauren Peterson, Mexican restaurant, an awesome Mexican restaurant, had watermelon juice and some crazy burritos.
So no Applebee's for you that night. That's
thank
good.
God. No Applebee's. No.
So that was the second day. And then okay.
So that's the day we say goodbye to Lauren. It's an amazing day. Another amazing day for 2 days out. We are just batting 1,000. The fact that we didn't get to Skywalker, you know, the archive is okay. We'll get over that. Oh, also, I forgot to mention that Lauren actually took us to some of the filming locations of the Ewok movie also that isn't far from the ranch.
Oh, really? Huh? That's
so
cool.
Lauren Peterson himself took us out to where they filmed the Ewok, some of the Ewok filming locations for the Ewok movies, not Return of the Jedi,
sure.
But the Ewok movies.
Well, that's not something you hear every day that somebody talks
no.
about that. Yeah.
Exactly. So third day in, our tour at ILM in San Francisco.
Oh, the Presidio.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So we were lucky enough. Heiko put this together. Thank gosh. Heiko, you were the best. We have an ILM tour with Christian Alsman, who's an artist.
Concept artist, yeah.
Yeah. So he was our host for the ILM tour at the Presidio.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, his artwork is amazing.
He is the coolest guy, too.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So he got you guys in, and then how did that go?
It was amazing. I mean, they have, you know, smatterings of old E.T. matte paintings and, you know, the huge matte painting from E.T. as E.T. had landed. He's kind of looking over the lights of the city. Mm-hmm. You know that scene?
Yeah.
That was a matte painting, and that matte painting is there, and, of course, they had a lot of Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2 props and that kind of thing, and some new stuff, some old stuff, but man, it was just the halls were filled with these props from, you know, movies that they had made.
And it all feels so familiar, even though it's not Star Wars, right?
Exactly. ILM was involved with so many amazing movies that you don't even realize it. Chris took us through a lot of that. We got to see, you know, we hit their little store and stuff, and we went to their cafeteria as well. We were expecting George to show up, but this time I think he was smarter than us, and he turned around that day and didn't go to ILM that day. So, an amazing trip. I'll send you a few photos if you want to.
Sure.
If you want to see those or something, maybe you can put them in the show notes or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was awesome, and so that was that day. Christian Alsman was great. We also got to take pictures in front of the Yoda statue there, in front of ILM, and that was it. And then we hung out in San Francisco, went to the Fisherman's Wharf. I'm not sure what that's called down there.
Sure, but Fisherman's Wharf, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the Presidio, there's a store inside the Presidio as well, right? Did you guys go to that one?
The ILM store?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Anything good there?
A lot of a lot of exclusive stuff with the ILM logo on it and that kind of thing. They had I got a really good look at the Gentle Giant life-size Stormtrooper and Boba Fett. They had those
Kenner ones.
Yeah, the Kenner, sorry.
Okay.
The Kenner reproductions, life-size reproductions that Gentle Giant did a year ago or so. Very cool, very expensive. How the hell would you get that home? You'd have to ship it, but very cool.
You could actually buy those there.
Yes, yes. Okay. Everything at the store you could, of course, buy. So they had some really interesting stuff. They had, like, motorcycle helmets that had, like, the kind of the motif of X-Wing helmets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the X-Wing helmet art was on it. And
that'd be something for you, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't drive I don't ride a motorcycle or anything. Well, I could probably put it on my walker or something.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be cool. That's... And then we had an amazing – the next day we had an amazing tour of Francis Ford Coppola's winery.
Oh, okay.
The day after that. And we saw some amazing props and stuff from Francis Ford Coppola. We saw Apocalypse Now props.
And that's also in the Petaluma area, isn't it?
Also in the Petaluma area. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're not traveling too far to get to all of these great places. And that wine tour was hosted by Steve Gawley, another ILM, senior ILM staffer. And Steve worked on a lot of movies, but actually it was kind of crazy because he worked on some of the props for the movie Tucker. And of course, the Francis Ford Coppola produced the movie Tucker, and they have a full-size Tucker automobile, one of the actual automobiles in the winery. So that was really cool. We took pictures of Steve Gawley and myself and I standing in front of the Tucker. Steve was working on some of the prop cars from Far Away Shots and that kind of thing. So ILM had their hand in movies that you wouldn't even expect. So
yeah, exactly.
It was kind of cool to hang out with Steve Gawley that day. So, yeah, a lot of ILMers we got to visit on the trip. So that was pretty fun and very cool. And, you know, if you're a wine guy, I guess, you know, Coppola's Winery is for you. But just to, you know, see the props and stuff that, that were in the winery, we were more interested in that than drinking wine. So, and we got some amazing shots of that too. So, so that was, pretty that was awesome. That day. Yeah, it was just filled with like Lucas stuff and ILM stuff. So I'm kind of going quick. So the wine tour was concluded. The next day we drove to the Endor Redwoods, the area where they did the speeder bike chase.
So that's up in Northern California. How long of a drive was that roughly, do you think?
Oh, it was only 4 hours to get there.
4 hours, and that's from Petaluma?
Petaluma to the area, Owen Cheatham Grove, which actually isn't it isn't really all that far. I mean, you know, it's even further to get to where they did the bunker scenes and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But this was specifically the area where they did the Steadicam shots for the speeder bike chase.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was amazing. We drove 4 hours. We spent an hour in Cheatham Grove, and then we drove 4 hours home.
Yeah, it was a full day.
It was a full day just to get there, so and back. But that was amazing. The weather was incredible.
Okay, yeah, I saw some of the pictures you guys took there. Somebody brought some Kenner figures, right? And you guys got it all set up and everything.
Yeah, Marcus brought Kenner figures and the AT-ST, the Kenner toys, and we put them right in front of the kind of the fallen tree where you see that shot in Return of the Jedi, the Steadicam shot where the speeder bikes fly under.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's not every day that you hear somebody or like a grown-up people, you know, talk about driving for 4 hours to some sort of forest and then play with Star Wars figures just to drive 4 hours back.
Yeah. Well, it's completely possible when you're talking about Star Wars fans. So.
Yeah. That's true.
So, yeah, it was amazing. The weather was amazing. We had the whole grove to ourselves because it was, I believe it was like a Thursday or something like that. So we were the only ones there. So we had a total run of the whole place. And we were running around like kids, like idiots, looking for locations and the area where the two trees kind of come together. I'll give you some, like I said before, I'll give you some pictures for the show notes and they can kind of check it out.
Yeah, we'll post that in the Facebook group.
Check that. Yeah.
What's great though about this filming location is that when you get there, it actually still feels like Endor, and it looks like Endor.
Absolutely, nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have picked off pieces of the trees and stuff, but as far as that goes, you go there and you go, oh my God, there it is. Mm-hmm. So there's really only two. Landmarks that you can see, the two overturned trees that kind of crisscross each other, and then the one fallen tree that speeder bikes fly under. There's no mistaking it. It's amazing.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we drove by there and then we flew to Los Angeles the next day, and we hung out in Los Angeles and did the Hollywood Boulevard and all that stuff. We visited the Kodak Theater and what else did we went to the Kodak Theater, and I believe we visited the Dolby Theater as well, and Man's Chinese Theater we took a tour of, and it's kind of the touristy stuff that we do you know, that you do in Hollywood when you're in Hollywood.
Sure.
Walk of Fame, saw a lot of the, you know, checked out all the stars on the ground and that kind of stuff. So it was fun.
Wow, that was a hell of a trip.
That was a whirlwind tour, and I can't thank my friends from Europe for putting that together. It was just crazy.
Amazing. So are you guys going to do a similar trip again next year?
I don't know if you could top it. There's no way you could recreate what we experienced that week.
That sounds magic. It sounds like magic, you know, meeting George Lucas or running into George Lucas a couple of times, and great stuff, man.
Good stuff. Yeah. Well, that's my story, and I hope you got a kick out of it.
Oh, it was amazing.
All of it was absolutely true. even though we don't have pictures of Lucas, everything that I said absolutely happened. George is not a big fan of the sequels, and he does not like kale.
Yeah. He doesn't like kale. All right.
Doesn't like. Yep.
It's amazing how far and what places Star Wars can take you.
This trip was, like I said, I mean, if we would have just seen George for 20 seconds at the restaurant, that would have been great. That would have been something we would have been talking about. I would have been talking about for years.
Yeah.
But the fact that we did the ILM trip and we visited Chris and we hung out with Lauren and we got to hold an Oscar and it's just insane.
Meet Don Bees. Meet
Don Bees, hang out with Steve Gawley. It was just like a fever dream. You wake up and you go, did this really happen or did I just make all this crap up? But it's true. All of it's true.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you so much for talking and sharing the story with us.
You got it, Chris.
Can you tell our listeners real quick where they can get in touch with you and find you?
Yes. You can find me at the Facebook group, IGrewUpStarWars.com. And I think a lot of your listeners are already there. But, hey, if you're not, definitely sign up. We'll get you added. And it may not be as crazy and modern as there's not as much modern talk, but if you like goofy vintage talk and all that stuff, you might like IGrewUpStarWars.com.
Lots of childhood memories, lots of childhood pictures with Star Wars and Kenner toys, of course. Yeah, it's a great community that you've built over there.
Yeah, thanks. And if you want to just, hang out and look at childhood-related Star Wars photos, you know, sidestep all the other folks talking to you and just go to the website, IGrewUpStarWars.com. There you can silently enjoy your childhood and other people's childhood without actually talking to anybody.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
All right. Of course, Chris. Have a great one and keep listening.
All right, so that was it for this episode of GFT, Galactic Figure Talk. My name is Crispy, and I want to say thank you for listening. I'll catch you on the next one.
It's a wrap for this episode, but the next one is just around the corner, so make sure to subscribe. Meanwhile, have fun browsing over 4,000 Star Wars figures on GalacticFigures.com, the Star Wars action figure database. The website helps you look up and identify Star Wars figures. Leave your own figure reviews in the comments or check out photo galleries, figure info, news, press releases, or event coverage from New York Toy Fair and Star Wars celebrations. Thanks for listening. Check the links in the description and remember to subscribe.